I'm actually going to invite you to stay seated for our, we have our second reading today, being that it is our series on Revelation. We have two readings from Revelation as a part of our series today, so no gospel text for us, but a powerful reading full of good news for us, no matter what. So this is our second reading from Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of God's creation. One of the things happening here is the angel then gives to John, who we heard from in the first, the angel gives this vision of seven churches, messages for John to write to the seven churches in seven different communities. And this is to the church in Laodicea. Says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white robes to clothe yourself and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you, and you with me. The one who conquers, I will give you a place with me on my throne, just as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. This is the word of the Lord. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, I've spent a long time daydreaming about the proper beginning to a sermon series on the book of Revelation. I had a lot of ideas, of how we could start a series such as this. For a long time, I thought about playing a song, something like this. Could work, right? Right? Or I thought about a different way of going about it, but then the council said that we didn't have a line item in our budget to rent a pit of fire, that was out. So we had to keep going and coming up with a different way to access the book of Revelation. But then I actually read the book of Revelation and realized all those images and those songs of the end times and burning and of everything being destroyed, it just isn't really what the book is about at all. It's a letter. I mean, specifically, it's a letter from someone named John who is writing from the island of Patmos, about 30 miles off the western coast of modern-day Turkey. And it's addressed to a community, or a group of communities, as it were. John to the seven churches in Asia, we hear early on. And then before writing to each congregation individually, he writes of a vision of Christ that he has. That's what we heard in our first reading for today. He starts the content of his letter by telling about a vision he had while he was in the Spirit, or worshiping in the Spirit, or other translations say under the power of the Spirit. In his vision, he sees Christ standing in the middle of seven lampstands, which we're told represent the seven churches. And Christ says to him, "Do not be afraid." The first words of Jesus in the book of Revelation are, "Do not be afraid." How many of you have ever thought through the book of Revelation or heard other people talk about the book of Revelation and assumed Jesus' only words were, be afraid, be very afraid, right? And yet the first words we hear are this word of comfort that we're so used to Jesus speaking through the Gospels and his ministry. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one, he says. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. You'd be hard-pressed to find better news in all of Scripture than this. Christ is dead, is alive again, happy Easter, by the way, and has the keys of death and of Hades. Those cosmic powers that be have been defeated by Christ, and the keys are now his. Write what you have seen, Christ says. Write what is and what is to take place after this. That's what the book of Revelation is. It's John writing to the seven churches, the revelation or the unveiling, the message that Christ has brought to him. Another thing I think is that's powerful to remember about the book of Revelation is that some interpreters in the last century or two would have you believe that the center of Revelation is a story of separation. Right? That Revelation is a story of separating people from one another. That it's fundamentally a story of separation, but in so many ways we see that the book of Revelation is actually a book of joining. It's actually a book of bringing together. It's a story of God being with God's people. In John's vision, the seven churches are represented by the seven candles. And who is there in the midst of them but Jesus Christ? Christ is right there among the candles, right there among the communities represented in this vision and to whom these letters are written. Chapters 2 and 3, then, in the book of Revelation are these letters to the seven churches. And each one of them are different because each community is different. Each of the issues facing the different churches, none of them are the same. If it's a message to a congregation, it's going to be highly dependent on what that congregation is going through. Right? Think of the different congregations you've been a part of throughout your life. Different issues in each one, different messages that would come to each one when needed. Right? Messages of encouragement. And also, no doubt, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, also a call for repentance. Call to change and go in a new direction. I think even for us here at Calvary, right, for this congregation, through the different times in the 60 plus years as a worshiping community, different messages were needed, right? Messages of encouragement. Messages that bring us together as the body of Christ. Each of the letters to the church follow a pattern. There's a greeting. To some, there's a word of caution or warning, but within each one is a call to repent, is a call to change your mind, to change your ways, to live something new. To each community, no matter what they may have done, no matter how far they may have fallen, there is an invitation to newness, an invitation to turn and go in a new direction. The letter that we read to the church in Laodicea is the final of the seven letters to the churches. It's kind of a harsh one, isn't it? The words that the angel says, that is communicated to us through John, it can be hard to hear. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Because you are lukewarm, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. For the Laodiceans, there's basically three charges in their lukewarmness. Right? It's their relative affluence, their social self-sufficiency, and their spiritual overconfidence. Now, one thing about Laodicea that's important to know is that it was a regional banking and finance and trade hub for the surrounding communities. So people living there would have been very assimilated to the Roman way of doing things because they benefit from it. And in the Roman Empire, everyone looks out for themselves. And as long as they do what Rome commands, and they keep their heads down and look out for themselves, no trouble's brought their way. They can live a perfectly comfortable life. And while that may be good news for the kingdom of Rome, it's not necessarily what Jesus calls us to do in love and in care for our neighbor. I wonder about those different ways that we've become isolated from our neighbors. I wonder about those ways where the world as we know it today has caused some disconnection in community. I wonder about just our way of living modern life, not just here in our community, but everywhere around the world, it seems. How our ways of living shut us off from the needs of others. I wonder about how our location, whether it's our geographical location or social location or economic location or any of the places we find ourselves, could prevent us from hearing the cries of those who are knocking at the door, the cries on whom Jesus comes to us on behalf of. I also find it interesting that there's a specific set of suggestions given to the church in Laodicea. Right? The angel doesn't come with a message and say, here are the things that's wrong, good luck. There's suggestions that come. There's imperatives that Jesus gives. Near the end of the letter to the church, we hear this, listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me. Whenever I've seen this painting before, I've always assumed it was Jesus knocking on the door of someone who rejected him. Or of someone who might be called like a non-believer or something like that. He's knocking on the door of a church. He's knocking on the door of a church. One thing to notice about the painting I pointed out in the children's time is there's no doorknob on the outside. It has to be opened from the inside. And for John writing to the church in Laodicea, that means looking outside of themselves. Right? Each of those imperatives, the injunctions that we hear are to listen for a knock at the door, to hear Jesus' voice and what the Spirit is saying, to open the door, to reconnect not only with Jesus, but with our neighbors as well, and to eat together, to have fellowship with one another, to be in community with one another. These are all ultimately postures of relationship, right? Being open to what God is doing in us, in our lives, and in our community. Postures of relationship with God and with our neighbor, they move us away from being an insular community toward being a community who belongs to Christ. They move us away from our need for self-sufficiency toward a vision of community where everyone is heard and honored and welcome and loved as a body of Christ. This is the kind of community that Christ calls the church in Laodicea to be. I wonder what his words for a church in Purim might be. When we had our Bible study this last week on Wednesday, we thought about what would, if there were an eighth letter to the church in Purim or to the church in Minnesota, wonder what those words for us would be. I wonder what the Spirit might be stirring in us. I wonder what the Spirit might be calling us to. We may not know the specifics, but what a vision of community we have here, right? Listening for the Holy Spirit in our midst, being open to connecting with strangers, having fellowship with one another, trusting that Christ is in our midst. It's a pretty good blueprint. It's a pretty good model for this Easter life that we are called to live, this story of resurrection. I'm grateful to be able to have this Easter season with you, moving through the book of Revelation, because I think we have an opportunity in it to see the deep and immense Easter promise of Christ's presence, not only with us, but throughout the world, as well as gleaning from it an example of ways that we can faithfully follow Jesus, not only in the time ahead, but in the here and now. And for that, we can say thanks be to God. Amen.